Domingo Santana, ooh, I wanna add you to my roster in Roto, replacing Gio Soto, Giolito, and Brito, baby, where my fab go? Near the Florida Keys, there's a place in Miami, that's where you wanna be to get ahead of your league. If you put Posey at sea, he'll help in points or OBP. Heath will approve, cause he's under 30, cause Heath's an ageist on the podcast. Mazzara and Parra project to Amiwara, Herrera, Cabrera. Don't let the bandit scare ya. Machado or Bono or no.
Welcome to the show. It is Friday. It is July 1st. Fellas, we are 3 months into the season. We're really at the halfway point right now. How about that?
We really are. We can now take every stat that's been compiled to date completely seriously.
Oh, it just multiply by two.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Well, yeah, that's easy. Easy math.
So if the season ended today, how many fantasy leagues would you guys win?
I think two, and I think I have a shot in the podcast league.
Oh, you better have a shot. You're killing it.
Maybe three. Matt Cow, the mailman, I think, is the points leader.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, yeah. He benefited from my ridiculous decision to drop Matt Moore on Sunday.
Oh, so come on! You know Matt Moore could be just as bad next time out.
He could be, or he could be never bad again.
Didn't we pretty much yesterday? We sort of just said he's a home road guy. Is that how you see it, Scott? Or you see more than that?
No, I see him as a still developing pitcher who one day is going to figure it out, and it could be this year.
Okay. Well, you love yourself some Matt Moore. Welcome to the show. It is Friday, and we are in a good mood, and we are getting ready for the holiday weekend. And we're doing a mailbag show later today that's going to air on Monday. So you don't have to email us anymore because I've already got all the emails for that show. But you can email us anyway at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. We have news on the Marlins. Clayton Kershaw's on the DL. Carlos Carrasco is awesome. Are we buying Michael Pineda? What's this Danny Espinosa nonsense? And who's on the most added list? Also, week 14 help with some two-star pitchers. Al, you tweeted me, or you DM'd me last night. You could just text me, you know.
I could. Well, you know, Twitter offers you a choice. I could have sent by email, could have sent by text, but I figured that was the best way to reach you.
All right, that's fine. And you have a suggestion for tweet of the day, and I'm still a little confused about it, so why don't you explain it?
All right. Yeah, this does kind of have a whole backstory, but all right. Well, so Joe Fusaro is the beat writer for the Marlins for MLB.com. And he said he could confirm that the Marlins got Rodney for Chris Paddock. And that was the first time I had seen the deal in that, you know, configuration actually confirmed. So I retweeted it with the comment from a Marlins fan perspective, major bummer. And so at Jam 061200, a.k.a. Michael Smith, replied, "Guess I'll be dropping Rodney. Sucks. No way they take Ramos out now. We'll pick up Guerra for his RP spot." And he copied me and Joe Fusaro. And I always feel bad for the beat writers when they get copied on fantasy stuff.
Right.
But Joe Fusaro was a total sport. And so my nomination for Tweet of the Day was his reply, which said to Michael Smith, "You may want to consult with Mattingly first. But seems like a logical way to go."
so you were just jazzed that Joe Fusaro like played into our fantasy obsession and tweeted back at you and this guy.
Yeah. Yeah. He basically, you know, gave me a break. He put on his fantasy analyst hat and said, "Yeah, sounds like a good way to go."
That's cool. So what's your take on this? First of all, why are you bummed as a Marlins fan? They're going for it, Al. They're in the wild card hunt and the division hunt.
Look, I mean, I know I've talked a lot about Fernando Rodney and the amazing season he's having, but it's overkill. They've got a good bullpen. They could have gotten a complimentary piece to give them more flexibility for probably cheaper than Chris Paddock, who right now is, I think, one of their best prospects.
He's probably their prospect. I mean, and it wasn't coming into the season, but it's fun. Yeah. He was just in The prospects report that came out yesterday morning, I wrote, so, you know, the day this trade was made, I was hyping Chris Paddock. His last three starts at low class A, granted, but last three starts, zero hits allowed in three starts.
Yeah, I saw you wrote about him, and I was like, but it doesn't mean that this is a bad thing for him necessarily, right? Going to the Padres?
No.
I mean, it's a long way for him. Who knows how he's going to develop from here? It's just, it's weird for an organization with a completely decimated farm system. They finally stumble upon a prospect.
Exactly.
And they trade him for a 39-year-old reliever who was terrible last year. It's worth pointing out.
Well, he was good with the Cubs. The Cubs fixed him, maybe.
But the point is, it's a short-term play in a low-consequence role. Maybe. I you know, the Marlins haven't actually said who's going to close. Between him and Ramos, getting this back to a fantasy discussion.
Right, so what do you guys think?
Well, I don't think you can afford to drop Rodney. In fact, I might, based on the opportunities Ramos has gotten this year, I'd be more motivated to pick up Rodney until I saw, in the leagues where he's still available, of course, until I saw what direction they decided to go, because obviously he's had a really good season, much like Ramos has.
And based on what I'm seeing, you know, mostly from my followers on Twitter, but what I'm seeing on Twitter in general is a lot of people are dropping or considering dropping Rodney under the assumption that Ramos just keeps the job. And I don't know. And again, Joe Fusaro says we should check with Don Mattingly. So nobody knows who's going to be the Marlins closer. But if my hunch is that actually they'll turn to Rodney for a couple of reasons. I think one is just that you don't make this move unless that's at least something you're considering doing. And also the fact that Carter Capps was challenging Ramos in the spring before he had to get TJ surgery. So I don't think the Marlins brass considers Ramos untouchable in that role.
Well, so, he hasn't blown a save yet this year, though, right?
No, I mean, he's been great. He's done nothing to lose the job.
But he hadn't coming into the season either, and Capps was in the discussion.
Yeah, well,
for some reason, it just seems like they don't view him as a closer, even though he's been great at it.
Well, I think at the very least, I mean, this puts a short leash on and some pressure on AJ Ramos, you know, like it makes the Marlins better, but I don't love it as a Ramos owner, even if he keeps the job, because now they have such an obvious replacement if he struggles. I also feel like Rodney's the kind of guy that won't pitch as well in the eighth inning, you know, kind of like Rafael Soriano, where he just couldn't pitch in the eighth and was good in the ninth. We'll see what the deal is with Rodney. Yeah.
You said he was good with the Cubs
last year,
and that
was
in a non-closing role. But honestly, if anybody's going to fail between these two, I think it's Rodney. I think Ramos is more in the prime of his career and has a steady enough track record. Rodney's been all over the place, particularly recent years.
Let's talk about the guy who gives us so many team name possibilities that we can't say on the air. Ryan Buchter of San Diego. Is he the guy? And this is why you need to follow us on Twitter. Because Al tweets yesterday, I didn't know about the trade. I think I was doing a fantasy football draft at the time, a mock draft. And Al tweets, you know, Rodney going to the Marlins. And Al's hunch, Ryan Buchter would step up and be the new closer for San Diego. So I picked him up. He's set up for Rodney in his recent saves. So is that who you guys are targeting? Buchter's 17% owned.
Clearly the best reliever in their bullpen, and he had just been anointed to the eighth inning role a few weeks ago, so it would seem like he would step in, but Brandon Maurer's name has also been brought up, and Buchter being a left-hander, that's always less than certain. Yeah. So Buchter is the number one guy I'd want, but I don't think it's a slam dunk.
All right, then. Let's go to the other big news item. Clayton Kershaw's on the DL with a herniated disc in his back. The Dodgers went out and got Bud Norris from Atlanta. Now, what's your take first on Kershaw, guys? And how long? We don't know how long he'll be out, but what should fantasy owners know right now? And then what's going to happen with the Dodgers rotation? This is like the 15th guy that they've started this year, I feel. Al, what you got on the Dodgers?
Well, you know, and this situation could change very soon because Brandon McCarthy, I think, is not very far away from getting back. Hyun-Jin Ryu's making some progress. Alex Wood, I would assume, comes back sometime this year. So Norris, I think, has some good short-term value because he's been very good, you know, since returning to the rotation for the Braves, adding, I think it was a splitter or cutter. Now I'm trying to remember what I just wrote about it. but I think it was a splitter that Norris added. I'll check back on that. But it's made a huge difference for him, both in terms of getting a lot more ground balls than he ever has in his career, and getting more swings and misses as well. So maybe the league catches up with him. But you know, by the time that happens, then you know you could see Brandon McCarthy maybe taking the spot.
Right.
Yeah. What about Brock Stewart?
Well. He was already in line to make just one more start, and since Norris is coming in and taking Kershaw's place, I think that holds true. Yeah, I do think Norris has a pretty short shelf life here, but I don't think Stewart's going to be the one who bumps him out.
Okay, what about Kershaw?
No matter how good he is. What about Kershaw?
Yeah, he's like good. What did you guys do in your rankings with Kershaw? You know, how?
I kept him the number one pitcher. I think it's going to be. Well, definitely after the All-Star break. I mean, just the number of days forces that. But until I have reason to believe it's going to be longer than that, I'm not going to downgrade him because, as you know, as loaded as many aces there are in baseball right now, Kershaw is still in a class of his own, and yeah, I wouldn't want to sell him short.
Did you just say as many? Wait, is it? Did you just say as many aces as there are in baseball?
Yeah.
How many? No, seriously. How many do you think there are in fantasy? Like 7 or 8?
Well, that's 7 or 8 that you could make an argument for moving ahead of Kershaw. I guess I didn't word it very well, but the point is there are other pitchers who are very good, and you could make. Yeah, somebody might be willing to move them ahead of Kershaw, but not me.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure the Kershaw owner right now might get offers or even give offers. You know, I'll give you Kershaw for Chris Sale or something like that. And you guys are saying, no, you wouldn't. Well, Scott said that. I don't know about Al.
I totally agree with Scott.
Okay, you wouldn't trade Kershaw at this point until we know more for anybody.
That's right. And unfortunately, when we know more, you know, maybe then the news is bad that we lose that window. But, there's no way I'm trading Kershaw for any other starting pitcher.
2 days ago, we were just talking about, is he the most valuable player in fantasy? So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like I said then, he'd probably be number one for me if not for the injury. But now we know it's a herniated disc in his back, and he's going on the DL. He's on the DL.
Right.
Doesn't sound like a nothing injury.
No, but I think I don't remember what it was. It was 2 or 3 years ago. Remember, they made that trip to Australia on opening day, and his back got messed up somehow, and he was on the DL, and there were people selling him short then, and then he came back and was, you know, the best pitcher in baseball still. So it may be a slightly different situation, but I have faith in him overcoming this, provided it's not any worse than it appears to be.
Is it bad that...
I guess, go ahead, Norris, it's a cutter.
A cutter for Norris?
Yeah.
Is it bad that I don't own Kershaw on any team, and I hope he's out for a really long time? I don't care, but it would help me in fantasy. It certainly would.
Yeah.
I think you can forget the Nobel Peace Prize this year.
All right, we got a lot to talk about from Thursday. We haven't even really gotten into Thursday's action, so here's just some more notes for you. Jason Hayward's been dealing with side soreness for a few days. Steven Strasburg unlikely to return this weekend, but could be back soon after. The Mariners called up Mike Zunino as Steve Clevenger goes on the DL with a broken hand, and Zunino doing well in AAA. Any interest in this horrible position?
Sure. Yeah, a little two-catcher league. I'm not going to add him in a one-catcher league yet, but I definitely think there's some untapped potential there. He definitely was rushed to get to the big leagues initially, and hopefully this stint in the minors helped him fix his swing, regain his confidence, and maybe overtake Chris Iannetta here sooner than later.
For some weird reason, that possibility did not occur to me until just now that he could overtake Iannetta.
Oh, yeah?
I probably should have been a little more active getting Zunino yesterday.
Well, I think you probably still have the opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say so.
I don't know if you saw this, but Taylor Motter of the Rays, the only Coastal Carolina alum in Major League Baseball, was watching the game on the big screen in the stadium, warming up on the field. It was really cool when they won. And it was a great finish to that game. I hope everybody had a chance to watch the 9th inning as Coastal Carolina wins their first national championship. The Cardinals went 12-13 in June, their first losing month in 4 years, and they have lost seven straight at home. Yeah, I know.
That's amazing.
June 2012 was their last losing month. Wow. Ulieski Goriel could be signed soon. So that's somebody that could play this year and had great, amazing numbers in Cuba. Tim Anderson walked, guys, and he had three hits. First walk.
Yeah, so it's like a 30-1 ratio now?
It was 0-27 yesterday.
Yeah.
I don't think he struck out. Maybe once.
I'm still not going to get on board with Tim Anderson. I know he's been hitting well. But that plate discipline is all. I mean, striking out every third at bat for a guy who doesn't have middle of the order power. I mean, okay, extra base power, particularly for a middle infielder, but that it's just a thin margin for error with all those strikeouts, and I don't think it's going to end well for him.
That's Tim Anderson. Now, Scott, Daeho Lee, you wanted him to play more. He is playing more, but he's not hitting.
Yeah. Shoot.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth watching.
Nori Aoki demotion made that possible.
Okay. Tommy Malone may not make another start for the Twins. Is it Jose Berrios time?
I think so. His last two starts at AAA have been dominant, and I mean, his overall numbers are really good there. So I can't imagine, you know, Pat Dean's not good. I can't imagine who else they'd go to.
And Huck Pearson, the Dodgers outfielder that my phone just refuses to spell properly, could end up on the DL with a sprained AC joint in his shoulder. That, of course, is Jock Peterson. Felix Hernandez is going to be back after the All-Star break, and Sean Doolittle goes on the DL with labrum inflammation, and he could be back after the All-Star break as well. That's Sean Doolittle. So, let's get into it. Thursday's standouts. I think we have to start with Carlos Carrasco. What a brilliant start. 14 strikeouts and 7 1/3. 3 hits, one run, 2 walks at the Blue Jays, and he's just been rolling for 4 starts now. You guys have anything to say about Carlos Carrasco?
The only, and this is not terribly fantasy relevant, I guess, unless you're looking to make a trade. The only, you know, thing for me is, do I move him up in the rankings? And I've had Salazar ahead of him, I'd say at least since Carrasco had gone on the DL, and I think it's time now to leapfrog Carrasco over Salazar and get him possibly into the top 15.
I would I don't know if you guys care about this, but I would point out that last year he had a lot of these, he had a good amount of these types of starts, not 14 strikeouts, but really amazing starts. And he's also had some real stinkers. I don't know. Hopefully he'll be more consistent this year.
Yeah, but there's not really anything you can do with that. This was at Toronto. He shut out the Tigers in Detroit last time out. Those are two good offenses.
Yeah.
You're never going to bench him. You never should.
Oh, no. All right, then. What do you guys think about Michael Pineda, who is 78% owned? And last 6 starts, he's 1-1 with a 2.75 ERA with 49 strikeouts in 36 innings. And he's been working on his changeup, and he threw it fairly effectively yesterday, but Pineda's slider was absolutely ridiculous yesterday. What do you think about Pineda?
He leads the American League in strikeouts per 9 innings.
Oh, really?
Yeah, wow. He does. And, you know, obviously the ERA is still high. There was a time when I was dropping him in fantasy. He's only 78% owned now. But, you know, as this is something Al Heath and I were talking about yesterday. I feel like at the halfway point, we have seen so few breakout pitchers. There have been a lot of teases. But I feel like normally at this point in the season, there are one or two guys who I've secured in every league and really lengthened my pitching staff that way. And that just hasn't happened this year. So because of that, there's still a lot of wiggle room with all of my pitching staffs. And I think the way Pineda's gone his last few starts, absolutely have to buy in again.
Are you guys buying in long term, or are you just more so buying in short term with Pineda and saying, let's see where this goes?
Well, I would say let's see where this goes. I'm not 100% trusting at this point, but as you pointed out, I mean, he's really turned the corner. So I think if you do have an opportunity to pick him up, you pick him up, you start him right now while it's going well. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if things did turn south at some point and, you know, I would need to replace him.
Yep.
So let's talk about that breakout pitcher thing you were mentioning, Scott. Yeah. Shoemaker, is he one?
He's one of the more... He's one of the clearer ones. I think Stephen Wright's the one who immediately comes to mind.
Yeah.
But, you know, 29-year-old knuckleball, however old he is, like, it took me so long to buy into it that I didn't get the benefit from picking him up anywhere. And even Shoemaker, you know, it's not like the traditional breakout young guy with good stuff finding his form all of a sudden. It's been guys like Marco Estrada who've had their ups and downs. You could get away with calling Jason Hamill, I think, a breakout, although a lot of that has to do with supporting cast. There hasn't been one, and even so, it's been a low number to begin with, and it's been guys who you wouldn't necessarily target as breakouts.
Well, there was one, and okay. He pitched last night, and I don't know how you guys feel about him right now. I watched; it didn't seem like there was anything physically wrong with him, and that was Steven Matz, who's pitching with the Bone Spurs, and he had, you know, I was 5 2/3, 3 runs, I think, 2 home runs, gave up a 2-run homer in the first, then a solo shot in the sixth, and got taken out of the game. Wasn't
He's
that
been
bad.
So unreliable. I can't call him a break. A month ago, I would have called Aaron Nola a breakout. Yeah. I would have called Steven Matz a breakout. But you know, they've lost my confidence. Frankly, I'm not saying I'm dropping either one of them, but they're certainly not guys I'm relying on every week, regardless of matchups. When I feel like there are usually pitchers like that at this point in the season that have come along and allowed me to do that.
Okay, I'll give you guys one more name, and he's pitching tonight, and he's going to be my FanDuel pitcher facing the Rays in Tampa Bay. Michael Fulmer. Do you think this is a legit breakout for Michael Fulmer? Al, I'll go to you first.
Well, I mean, I look at breakouts a little bit different, I think, than Scott does, but I mean, in terms of can you trust him? Yeah, I think you can trust Fulmer and consider him a must-start guy. I really don't like to call rookies breakouts unless they've done something far above and beyond what their minor league numbers would suggest they could do. And I don't feel like that's quite the case with Fulmer.
And I don't want to get lost in terminology here.
Right.
What I'm saying, you know, I'm using the term breakout because it's an easy term to use. All I mean is a guy who I came into the season not necessarily trusting. Maybe even nobody drafted him, and now all of a sudden he's an integral part of my pitching staff. It's been very few players. I do think Fulmer is one of the ones who comes closest to that, but of course he has innings situation to worry about. He's only the Tigers kind of mapped out a plan for him yesterday. Actually, he's going to start Friday's game after skipping a turn, then he's going to start Wednesday's game, and then that's going to be it for the first half for Michael Fulmer. So he's going to skip like 2 turns between then and the All-Star break. And then after the All-Star break, there's a good chance he'll have a lot of 5 and 6 inning starts. So I don't know that because of that, I'm not sure I could even really slot him in that category. It sounds like I'm not going to be able to rely on him for long.
And we might run into the same issue with Aaron Sanchez, who's also been a breakout so far.
Yeah, he's definitely a breakout. And I don't think, Scott, you mentioned these names. I apologize if you did, but I think Danny Duffy, Drew Pomeranz, and Trevor Bauer so far.
Trevor Bauer's close. I'm close to being to that point with Bauer, but he's kind of a Johnny come lately here, so I'm not sure he's completely solidified his standing for me. Danny Duffy, same thing. And who was the third one?
Drew Pomeranz. I feel pretty comfortable with him.
Yeah, I think we could call him a breakout.
Danny Espinoza, what the heck? This is annoying. His last 31 games, or now it's, I think, 32 games after the 2-homer game yesterday. He's got 12 home runs in those 32 games, but he's slugging probably, you know, so I only have the data for the 31 games before yesterday. 278, 388 on base, and a 639 slugging with 10 homers and 3 steals. Add 2 more home runs yesterday. Espinoza is not only keeping Trey Turner from playing short for Washington, but also being very fantasy relevant over the last month. What's your take on Danny Espinoza, who's 35% owned?
I think Danny Espinoza is Adam Duvall-ing it, which is that this is somebody who does have has had some power in the past, and this year he's really turned it up by posting the highest fly ball rate of his career and big increase in the pull rate. So you add that to the power potential that was already there. But I think, you know, you're going to see in the future what you've seen from Duvall lately, which is, I think Duvall's hitting about 210 over the last, I don't know, I want to say 20 games or so.
Yeah.
You know, so the bottom can fall out really easily for Espinoza, and then, you know, we can go back to complain about Dusty Baker being the reason why
Trey Turner is not
Trey Turner.
Yeah. You know, they've been playing Trey Turner in center field at AAA, which is just, I guess, a good development in the short term, though he actually has to gain shortstop eligibility in fantasy still. So I don't know. I worry about what that could mean for the long term, though, if he just gets stuck there in the outfield. Loses a lot of value that way.
There's one.
And you know who's the Danny Espinoza of the AL? Luis Valbuena. I mean, he's got to be the most annoying person.
Yes.
To second most annoying person in fantasy next to Danny Espinoza.
Yes. By blocking Alex Bregman with his recent hot streak.
Yeah, but, you know, we've seen it before from Espinoza in short spurts, and we've seen it before from whoever you just mentioned in Houston. But who was it?
Valbuena.
Valbuena, sorry. I get him and Marwin Gonzalez confused. And it doesn't really last, you know? Like, they might hit home
runs. I'm not interested in either, really, except in deep leagues. But the point is, if they weren't losing their jobs when they were doing as poorly as they were, I mean, how much wiggle room do they buy themselves with these recent surges? I think a lot.
Now, one second baseman I noticed is still 66% owned, and maybe you want to drop him for Danny Espinoza, is Brandon Phillips, who's just doing nothing. He strikes me as one of the more over-owned players at 66% owned. What do you guys think?
I'll completely co-sign on that.
Yeah, I don't know what led me to even look at his ownership percentage. I just saw the box score. I saw Brandon Phillips. I haven't seen anything good from Brandon Phillips in a long time, and indeed, he's been horrible. I've got some really good BVP stats for you a little bit later to help you fill out your FanDuel lineup, and if you think you know fantasy, why don't you prove it at FanDuel.com. Play every single day a new contest, a new team, a new chance to win more money. Go to FanDuel and play fantasy baseball, basketball, football, and more. They have so many different types of contests and sports to play. You can join over a million users who have already won money on FanDuel.com. And we're giving you a chance to do that for free, basically. New users can enter their first league, win a cash prize in that league, and if you don't, FanDuel automatically refunds your entry fee up to $10 for additional play. How do you get that offer? You go to FanDuel.com. You click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. You sign up with our promo code, Home Run, one word, no spaces, just Home Run. Use that code when you sign up on FanDuel.com, and I will help you out with a lineup a little bit later. I think it's actually a pretty nice night because I think Fulmer's a good play. Julio Teheran against the Marlins isn't bad. Steven Wright's not bad. Cueto has had a great start earlier this year against the Diamondbacks, but what's even better, there are some awful pitchers on the mound and some really good teams to stack. So I want to look at the most added list, guys, and I want to start with a prospect who's not on the most added list, but I've seen him added in four of my six leagues over the last 2 days, maybe 3 days, and that's Aaron Judge.
Yes.
Yeah, I know, Scott, you led your prospects column with him. I just want to say what I read yesterday from Brian Cashman in the New York Post. He said that Judge is getting better, that the AAA coaches are doing good work with him, basically, and that he's improved from where he was last year, I guess kind of learned new things, but they don't want to bring Judge up unless it's to stay for the long term. They don't want to bring him up short term. If they're going to bring Aaron Judge up, it's going to be for the long term. And you, both of you, aren't really that interested, it seems, in Aaron Judge.
Nah, not really. And it's great that, you know, people in the organization are saying that he's learned, you know, some new things. I mean, I also read that yesterday about Didi Gregorius, and I'm not sure that I buy that, even though he's been red hot lately. So, looking at a deeper league, if Judge is there, you know, I certainly would want to take the flyer, but it's not one of these situations like, say if Alex Bregman were to get promoted, or, when AJ Reed came up and, I'm checking every league to see if he's there.
And it's because of underwhelming production in the minors. I mean, Judge has been mentioned among prospects for a while now. But only recently has he delivered anything. 9 home runs in his last 18 games. That's great. But is it a transformation, or is it just a hot streak? The fact he strikes out so much, I mean, yeah, other prospects like George Springer, Chris Bryant, they struck out a lot too, but they were hitting like 340 when they were doing it. Judge is hitting like 260. So what does that translate to against major league pitching? I don't know. I think there's a chance he could develop into like an Adam Dunn player, which would be great. But it's I don't have a lot of confidence in that, particularly not right away.
Okay, that's Aaron Judge, Yankees outfield prospect in AAA. Now to the most added list. Here's your top five. Senwon Oh is 58% owned. Agree or disagree? There's a chance he could be close to 90% owned in a couple of weeks.
I'll agree.
Yep.
Lucas Giolito is 78% owned. He's number two on the most added list. And again, the most added list is not sorted by ownership percentage. It's sorted by change in ownership. Can I speak today? What?
No, you can't.
No.
Clearly.
Change
but you
in
may.
Ownership percentage. I need to slow it down. I think I'm just too excited for the weekend.
Too excited for that mailbag podcast we got coming up.
Yeah, yeah. Well, when we don't have a Monday podcast, I feel bad saying this. Like, please don't take this as I am complaining about my job. But when we don't have a Monday podcast, it frees up like 7 hours of my weekend that I spend taking notes. And I'm serious, because that Monday show is a beast, you know?
Yeah.
So when we don't have that podcast, I still go over all the games, but it's just such a vacation for me. I freaking love it. Daniel Megdid is number three. Justin Bour is number four. I have some notes on
bore.
Justin Bour.
What a bore.
61% owned, four homers in his last six games. And here are some important stats in June. Well, let's look at the last 28 days. He is the number 13 first baseman in points leagues. Bour is number 8 in Roto. He has the fewest at-bats among the top 40 first basemen in points leagues and the fewest at-bats among the top 28 in Roto leagues, which doesn't penalize you as much for missing games. But yeah, I mean, Bohr's been great lately. 333 with six homers in his last 28 days. What do you guys think? 61% own.
Well, the power surge, maybe it's a sign of a breakout there, but I don't buy that batting average at all. And I think even if he continues to hit for good power, I think he sinks back probably below the top 15.
Yeah, the lack of at bats is a bad thing.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's likely to continue because Chris Johnson is a really good platoon partner for him. Right. Keep using him.
Yeah, they're not gonna. Now, I gotta say, John Lamb. Did I say the right Lamb? No, Jake Lamb. Jake Lamb has me rethinking my stance on platoon players a little, but he's a platoon player who's also on pace for more than 500 at-bats. So the fact he's ahead of Todd Frazier, Evan Longoria, at least he was before yesterday, maybe not as shocking as I would think, because he does sit against left-handers usually.
Now, would you rather have Justin Bour or A.J. Reed?
Reed.
Yeah, Reed.
Reed. Now, it's not even a contest for me.
Okay. Next up, Albert Suarez. He's now 25% owned. Any interest?
No, and I think with Suarez and Mengden, that's a hangover from the pickups over the weekend for the two start weeks. So, I could see Suarez maybe being on the most dropped list in a few days.
You know what's weird, guys? I'm just looking
what's
now.
What's weird?
The Diamondbacks, because you're comparing Lamb and Bour. Those are two animals. Yeah, how about that?
Yeah. two sources of meat also.
The Diamondbacks have had a lot more at-bats against lefties than the Marlins. They've had the 10th most, and the Marlins have had the 22nd most. I don't know if that's relevant or not.
So what I should have said was that Bohr's heading down the most added list.
Can I tell you something, Al? Because I'm glad you mentioned that. I went to the supermarket the other day. And they had a lady giving out boar's head samples. And it's very rare that I take a sample of something and decide I want to buy it. I just usually take advantage of free food, you know?
Sure.
She gave me a miniature hot dog, like pigs in a blanket size, but no blanket, just a hot dog.
Right.
And it was so freaking good. I want everybody to go out and buy them for 4th of July. They're these mini hot dogs. They come in a package, a boar's head package. You'll see them. You know, just go to the deli at your supermarket. They're incredible. And I bought them, and I'm super excited to make them on Monday. So there you go. Thank you for letting me say that.
Are you doing a read right now?
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay.
That was
totally
legit. Is
there if I leave the podcast and go get some right now?
But you can. Are you pumped about that? Are you a hot dog guy?
Yes, I am a hot dog guy.
Oh, they're so good. But if you want me to do a read right now, I will tell you that my enchiladas from Blue Apron last night were also delicious. Now back to the most added list. Junior Guerra, Jake Peavy. This list is making me nauseous. Ugh. Suarez, Guerra, Peavy, Bud Norris, AJ Griffin. He's interesting.
Come on.
Am I supposed to be excited about these guys?
Well, I think Junior Guerra, I'm sure you talked about him yesterday.
We did.
But yeah, he's only 49% owned. Come on.
Yeah, you think he should be more?
What?
Would you drop, let's say, a Jaime Garcia or a Gio Gonzalez or a Jordan Zimmerman for a Junior Guerra?
I'm still putting Zimmerman in a different class from those other two, and maybe...
And even I am doing that.
Okay.
So, and I wouldn't drop Zimmerman for Guerra, but I would drop the other two.
Yep. Guerra, he's had 3 great starts in his last 9 and 7 quality starts. So, I mean, in a year where there's so few breakout pitchers, why couldn't it be him?
It's a second stretch of good starts.
Yeah.
Well, what's different about him and Zach Davies, who I don't want to give up on yet, but he was awful yesterday.
I just think there's more strikeout potential with Guerra. I think that's the major difference.
Did you know Guerra?
Also probably more potential to give up home runs than Davies. And Davies, I think, gave up 3 yesterday.
Yeah. It's interesting. I've been moving Davies up. He's not as high up as Guerra. Maybe it is a strikeout thing, but they do have something in common in that they have one particular pitch that's among the best of its kind. Davies has a killer changeup. Guerra has a killer splitter. It's actually been the hardest splitter to hit in all of baseball this year.
Ooh.
And that's a new development for him. That's why it took him till age 31 to reach the majors, because that's something he's been working on for the last 5 years or so. And that's what has me interested in them. It's a broader question how far one dominant pitch can carry a pitcher.
And AJ Griffin, how about him? You know, he's been pretty good.
Yeah, he sure has. That was a good test too, I think, against the Yankees. And I know, we don't think of the Yankees as a potent offense, but I think there's still some power potential there. And that's just the sort of thing that could make for a rough start for Griffin. I was very surprised he and Pineda combined for just 2 homers allowed yesterday.
Yeah. And, you know, those homers were not exactly shots, by the way. They were pretty Yankee Stadium-y homers, one of them by Gregorius, who we will talk about. There's somebody on the most drop list that I mentioned a few days ago, Trace Thompson. He had been dealing with a back injury, and I don't know if he's over it or not, but in the last 3 games, he's got a steal and a home run. So, Scott, you like Trace Thompson quite a bit back a few weeks ago, and I think people giving up too early. What do you think?
I can't, but between these fringy pitchers and fringy outfielders, I can't get it right. I can't. that's why I'm getting beat down in the podcast league, because I swap out Trace Thompson's for Melky Cabrera's at the wrong time and just can't. I wish somebody would really stand out, you know? Stand out.
Yeah.
Make me believe.
Yep. That's what's happening with me and Brett Gardner. Just every time I hate him. But who would you guys rather have? Last question. Junior Guerra or AJ Griffin?
Guerra.
I'll take Griffin.
Ooh, okay. I made a mistake yesterday. I apologize. Heath said, "Food you," and I didn't put in the Spaceballs drop.
Oh, man.
That's not going to happen again, and here's proof. Let's talk about 2 players here. Hey, Andrew McCutchen had 2 home runs on June 25th against the Dodgers. Yeah, great. Everything's wonderful, Andrew McCutchen. Well, guess what?
Fool you!
3 for his last 17 with a double, and maybe even more concerning, McCutchen drew 14 walks in April. He's drawn 16 walks in May and June combined. When are you going to get concerned about Mr. McCutchen?
I moved him down a spot or two yesterday. So that's some level of concern. I think now, the halfway point, it's appropriate to be concerned. But what does that look like exactly?
Yeah, and the thing is, I'm like I said, a little concerned, you know, to the point where, okay, I downgrade him, you know, past a few players, but that's not really actionable, you know, unless we're looking at trades. But, again, half a bad season. I mean, we've seen players come back and just have a complete turnaround. in the last 3 months. So really, by the time statistically, I think, okay, enough's enough. It's probably too late to do anything about it. So I think with a player that you could have conceivably drafted in the first round, at least as far as I'm concerned, you're just throwing in your lot with that player for better or for worse. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, occasionally, you get burned. More often than not, I think you get rewarded.
Yeah, I think the way to go with McCutchen, if you're going to do something, and I could understand you wanted to do something, but the worst thing you could do is sell him short. I think you're going to have to combine him with another player to get like a player who, even if McCutchen bounces back, it wouldn't necessarily be such a bad trade still. Like if it was, I don't know, McCutchen and for a guy who needs like a guy who's short in the outfield or something, McCutchen and like a Lorenzo Cain maybe for a Chris Bryant or something like that. The second player might even have to be somebody better than Lorenzo Cain.
Well, why would the Chris Bryant owner even consider that?
Because he's like me and he's having to deal with Melky Cabreras and Trace Thompsons and is just tired of it. Just wants somebody he can slot in and not bother with it anymore.
Right, but
it would take the right set of circumstances because obviously you don't want to leave yourself with a hole in the outfield either. But I think if there's any appropriate way to handle McCutchen, that's it.
Justin Upton had a 19-game hot streak with a .957 OPS and 6 home runs. Since then, Justin Upton,
fooled you!
5-for-33 with 1 extra base hit, 3 walks, and 6 strikeouts. What do you guys think? Just cooling off a little bit or a sign of a deeper concern here?
Yeah, I think 33 at-bats, that's not enough to just assume that there's a bigger problem. I'm much more encouraged by the 19 games than, you know, these handful of games. And I expect that rest of season, we're going to see something much more like the hot streak.
Who would you rather have, McCutchen or Upton?
I'd rather have McCutchen.
Me too.
McCutchen's the kind of guy that I still want to trade for, but what I was willing to give up for him a couple weeks ago, I'm probably not anymore. I think I made a Will Myers for Andrew McCutchen trade offer a couple weeks ago. It got turned down, and I don't think I'd do it again.
I'd do it, but you know, I was just saying McCutchen and Myers for Bryant. I guess that's a different trade. We just both included Myers. But yeah, no, I still value Andrew McCutchen over Myers, and I've been moving Myers up, so that's not so much a knock against Myers.
Well, it's interesting, you know, this is fantasy, right? If I had rankings, which I don't, I'm sure I would rank McCutchen ahead of Myers. But as a guy who owns Will Myers in a lot of leagues, I just don't know if I would pull the trigger, because I'd feel so stupid if I gave up this breakout guy who is really, you know, having his huge year. And we actually have a email about Myers that we're going to read in our mailbag show, so I don't want to go too far into it. But I'd feel so stupid if I gave him up and McCutchen just didn't recover. But I just feel like there's no good reason for McCutchen not to recover, except he seems to be playing through injury a little bit this year. I think the All-Star break will help him.
Yeah.
You know?
And I get what you're saying, but if I'm in a league where I'm not really right in the race, that's definitely a trade that I make where I give up Myers, because even with Myers in my lineup, it's not enough.
Right. Great point.
So if I were right, leading or right in the hunt, I probably wouldn't mess with success. But, you know, as kind of a midseason Hail Mary, I would definitely do that trade.
I like that. Good perspective there. These guys keep on homering. Let's talk about these homerers. We'll start with two guys who are pretty much universally owned. Brian Dozier, 5 home runs in his last 5 games in a huge June. And over the last 28 days, Dozier is the number 5 hitter in points leagues, number 8 in Roto. And Jason Kipnis, who has 3 home runs in his last 7 games and a 12-game hitting streak, as pretty much everybody on the Indians is doing amazing right now.
Mm-hmm.
Anything to say about Dozier or Kipnis that we haven't said already? Because I know we've brought them up already a couple times this week, I think.
Nothing on either. And yeah, I've not been a big believer in either. I'm starting to come around on Dozier. I'm back to starting him. And I've been told there's an Eno Saris piece that I need to read that I haven't gotten to yet that will maybe change my mind on him. So I'm looking forward to reading that.
Okay. Kipnis. Yeah, Scott Kipnis has 11 home runs last year. I think he hit 9. And again, I said this the other day. I just have no idea what kind of player Jason Kipnis is.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. And it's not like he's a top 12 second baseman in points leagues, even with what he's doing now. It's kind of weird because I don't think second base is deep, but it's not star-studded. And right now, Kipnis is on a 23-homer, 93 RBI, 81-run pace. You'd think that would be good enough for him to stand out to some degree, and he's just not.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, maybe second base is deeper than I give it credit for. I know Jonathan Scope's ahead of him right now, and he's hot. Eduardo Nunez, I don't expect that to last. Gene Segura somehow still sticking around up there. I don't expect that to last.
You like Kipnis better than all three of those guys?
Yeah, I do. But I don't know. It's I'm not exactly excited about him either. I've been distracted because I was thinking, I'm trying to think if I would really trade McCutchen and Myers for Bryant.
I mean, I would never take that if I were the Chris Bryant owner.
But Myers, I mean, I'm just wondering if it's too much, actually, because of Myers.
Al, what do you think? Which side would you rather have?
Yeah, I think I'd rather have it was McCutchen for Bryant. Or no, I'm sorry.
McCutchen and Myers for Bryant.
For Bryant. Yeah, I'd rather have Bryant.
Okay. Maybe it isn't too much. I just don't know if I'd do it. Maybe that means I'm still holding out more hope for McCutchen than I even realized.
As I just quickly dismissed it as too much, as not enough for Chris Bryant, I thought about it, and it's a pretty even trade, I think.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I really had to think about it. And my preference for Bryant has at least as much to do with me being on board with Bryant as a first rounder with being down on McCutchen.
Yeah.
Okay, Hsinchul Chu is 82% owned. I don't really understand that. I know he's owned in most leagues, but I feel like Chu should be owned in all leagues. He's leading off for one of the best lineups in baseball.
I think Chu should be owned in a lot of leagues too, Adam.
You think? Yeah, but also he's stolen 3 bases since coming off the DL in 16 games, which is encouraging because he only stole 7 combined in his previous 2 seasons. Other guys. Sorry, I keep cutting you off. Other guys.
No, it's fine.
Shut up! Rajay Davis. Rajay Davis has matched his career high with 8 home runs. Kendrys Morales has homered 3 times in 5 games. He has 6 straight multi-hit games. Morales is 49% owned. Javier Baez homered for the second time in 3 games. As Heath pointed out yesterday, it's all against lefties, and he homered off Mats yesterday. Marcus Semien, 4 home runs in his last 8 games. He had a great June. And Didi Gregorius, home runs in 2 straight games. He's the number 19 shortstop in fantasy, but much better over the last 2 months, specifically the last month. Last 28 days, Gregorius is the number 7 shortstop in fantasy. I said a lot of names there. I said Rajay Davis, Kendrys Morales, Semien, Gregorius, and Baez. Do you guys have anything to say about those guys?
I really don't. And the only one who's really making a dent in terms of where I put him in the rankings would be Kendrys Morales. And that was just more that I thought maybe he was really losing it earlier this season. And it's not that I think that he's going to necessarily have a career year from here on out. But he's certainly at minimum back to where, you know, I think he was about a year ago.
Yeah. You know, I'm not being totally dismissive of Gregorius here because 26-year-old, I mean, it's an appropriate age for a power spike. And he's now on a 17-homer pace with a .290 batting average that, by the way, seems perfectly sustainable looking at the BABIP. I'm surprised he's only coming in 19th at shortstop. So,
well, he doesn't steal any bases, really.
Yeah, but still, .290 hitting, 17-homer shortstop.
But that position is...
doesn't strike out.
That position steals bases. I've been saying this about Corey Seager, who's having a great year, but he's got one steal. The other guys around him at shortstop, a lot of them are stealing a lot.
He's the fifth shortstop, so it's... It doesn't sound like it's hurting him too much.
No, it's not hurting him that much, but he might... I mean, if not for the steals, he might be even better.
Yeah. Okay.
All I'm saying is,
but don't we factor in the steals in our assessment of these other players? I guess I'm not
Well, I'm just saying, in a position with so many steals, a guy like Gregorius who doesn't steal, yeah. It limits his value and his potential.
I think, you know, given where he is, in the rankings right now, I think that, yeah, that's very relevant for him because shortstop has really gotten much deeper. And so, yeah, a year or two ago, this would be really notable. Mm-hmm. But it's like, okay, well, even if I'm buying into this with Gregorius and I'm not sure that I'm ready to, what am I going to do about it? Because there's so many up-and-coming shortstops right now.
Yeah.
That it's hard for him to stand out. And yeah, steals would help with that.
So Gregorius, by the way, has an 857 OPS at home, 632 on the road. So he's a Yankee Stadium beneficiary. And one other stat. I don't know if this is still the case, but as of about a week ago, Didi Gregorius, of all left-handed hitters in baseball, had the best batting average against left-handed pitchers. So that's kind of cool.
That is cool.
I don't know if it's relevant. Maybe more for DFS, but it's kind of cool. Let's do two-star pitchers, guys. Who's writing the column this week?
Chris Towers is.
Oh, okay. So then what am I even asking you guys for?
Got me.
We don't know anything.
You guys feel okay with Tanaka at the White Sox and at Cleveland?
Sure.
I do, yeah. I can understand sitting him some weeks with one start, but there's no reason to sit him with two.
I'm going to be a little hesitant on this one. Jordan Zimmermann at Cleveland and at Toronto.
You should be hesitant, sure. Probably still do it in a points league because you can tolerate a bad start better in that format. But
and as we get down into lesser owned two-star pitchers, there's a lot of pretty decent options this week. So you don't have to suffer with the two-star Jordan Zimmermann.
Dallas Keuchel, Seattle and Oakland, both at home.
I'm good there.
Yep.
Jake Odorizzi, home against the Angels and at Boston. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, that's a one up, one down. yeah, again, that might be a case where I pick somebody up and replace him. He's borderline.
Gio Gonzalez, Milwaukee at home, Mets on the road. Good matchups, but didn't really help him yesterday at Cincinnati, did it? Or home against Cincinnati.
I don't feel like you can trust him right now.
Lance McCullers, Seattle and Oakland coming back from a blister, both at home.
Yeah, I'm starting McCullers.
You are?
Yeah, I could go for that.
Steven Matz has the Marlins and the Nationals at home.
Yeah, I think so. He's underwhelming lately, for sure. And this elbow thing is going to be something we talk about every time he pitches from now on. But I think I'm not to the point where I sit him in a two-star week.
Okay, that's Steven Matz. Jared Eichhoff, home against Atlanta. All right. And then at Colorado. Oh, no, Jared Eichhoff.
No.
Not doing it. Nope.
Okay. CeCe Sabathia, by the way, has been moved back from Sunday to Monday because they don't want him getting hurt when he's hitting in a National League park because every park should have the DH. But he'll be a two-star pitcher next week instead of this week. I think we talked about this yesterday, but Jameson Taillon at St. Louis and home against the Cubs. What do you think? Tough matchups.
Sabathia is such a good hitter. It stinks. who are you asking us about now?
Taillon at the Cardinals, home against the Cubs.
Yeah, I'm starting him.
Yeah, I'll go for that.
Ooh.
Even against the Cubs.
Ooh,
even against
okay.
the Cardinals.
Mike Leake, Pittsburgh at home, Milwaukee on the road.
Not interested.
I could see that being a guy I stream in a points league. Roto wouldn't bother because there's not enough strikeout potential.
The one thing that at least got me thinking about a little bit is just that the Pirates have been so bad for the last month, but I still just don't trust Leake.
Edinson Volquez at Toronto, home against Seattle.
No.
Speaking of not trusting.
Matt Moore, Angels at home, Boston on the road.
I mean, considering what he just did against Boston.
Yeah.
And obviously the Angels is a good matchup. I'm okay with this.
Yeah, I'm giving him a roll.
Okay. Junior Guerra at Washington, home against St. Louis.
Good with that.
Yeah.
AJ Griffin at Boston, home against Minnesota. I think
well,
he
I don't
already
like
pitched
as much as Al does.
I think he already pitched against Boston this year.
Yeah, that's a very dangerous matchup for Griffin, but Twins is a very nice matchup, so I'd be okay starting Griffin.
What do you guys think? Do you think AJ Griffin already faced Boston this year?
I don't remember it, but that doesn't mean.
Oh, he did. He did a week ago. 4 1/3, 4 hits, 2 runs.
That was the first one off the DL,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it was.
So, kind of hard to judge that one.
Okay, let's see. Jake Peavy, Colorado and Arizona at home.
Yes.
Really?
I like PB at home. Not, you know, I mean, again, a lot of good options here. Not my first choice, but I can roll with that.
James Shields, Yankees and the Braves at home.
I can't.
Huh. Well, I like him better than PV, only for that Braves matchup. But it would be, yeah, I'd have to be in a pretty desperate situation, I think, to do it.
And then how about R.A. Dickey, Kansas City and Detroit at home?
Nah.
All right, so who are the ones you want to pick up then?
Sean Manaea.
Yeah.
I like him. 30% owned still. And he's got the Twins and the Astros on the road. So I especially do like the Twins, Twins start for him. And going deep, deep, deep here, Tyler Anderson's been good, even with 3 out of 4 starts being at Coors Field. And he's got the Phillies at home, which is, you know, about as good of a matchup as you can have at Coors. And then on the road at the Giants.
I like it, Al. The Giants can't hit right now. I mean, they did score 12 runs yesterday, but they just lost 3 out of 4 to the A's.
Yeah, the lineup is really decimated. And, you know, in terms of venue, can't do a whole lot better than AT&T Park.
This is interesting. Do I go pick up Tyler Anderson? He's 10% owned. Good call. Good call.
Mr. Anderson.
Okay, let's finish up with some quick FanDuel advice and then your emails. Some players that I like today. Well, first of all, like I said, I'm starting Fulmer. I think what you should do is this. Start Michael Fulmer against Tampa Bay and take a shot on Prince Fielder for 2,700, who has a 14-21 OPS and 18 at-bats against Irvin Santana. And quite frankly, he's playing well enough to justify 2,700. That is extremely cheap for a first baseman. So do that. I also have Johnny Peralta in my lineup for 3,000. He is 17-37 in his career against Matt Garza. There are some really good values at third base. If you don't like Peralta, you can look at Todd Frazier, Michael Franco, Jake Lamb at home, but he's facing Johnny Cueto, so I wouldn't recommend that. I think Boston against Yoelis Chacin is very good. Mookie Betts is only 3,900. That seems like a good one to me. The Giants against Shelby Miller could be good, but Posey's 1-13 against Miller. Belt is 1-14 in his career against Miller, so I've avoided that. Here's a weird one for you. Daniel Descalso is 8-21 with 7 extra base hits against Bud Norris. So it is a new and improved Bud Norris, but if you are just desperate for somebody that's cheap, Descalso is a $2,600 second baseman. I also have Adam Jones in my lineup against Wade LeBlanc for $3,700. Prince Fielder, like I mentioned. Where is Prince Fielder? Am I wrong about his price? I better not be. This is like the whole... No, $2,700. Okay, I got you. You hit on me.
Woo.
And Travis d'Arnaud for $2,100. I mean, that's as cheap as it gets at catcher. I think he's facing Hamill tonight.
He is.
But still, $2,100, you can't do much better than that. And then you can spend a lot of money. That leaves me with $3,700 to between second base shortstop and the outfield, one outfielder. And you can get some studs with that. Okay, emails. Andy in Pittsburgh. Which one or two starting pitchers would you pick up? Mangdon? Doug Fister? Josh Tomlin? Bartolo Colon? Or Archie Bradley? He needs one or two of those. Mangdon, Fister, Tomlin, Colon, and Bradley. He's looking for quality starts without crushing my whip.
Unfortunately, I don't know these pitchers' matchups for next week offhand.
I don't think it's a one-week thing.
Okay. Well, that makes it a lot easier then. And in that case, definitely Mangdon. I'd say Mangdon and Bradley.
Well, if he's not looking to crush his whip, I might actually lean Tomlin over Bradley, but I do think Bradley has more upside.
Andy in Pittsburgh also wants to know who the best closer stash is. Ryan Buchter's already taken. Hector Neris, Ryan Dull, Adam Ottavino, Daniel Hudson, or anyone else that you could think of?
I'm going to say Neris because, you know, he had a little rough patch recently, but David Hernandez has had a much worse rough patch, so I think it would clearly be Neris if and when the Phillies trade Jeanmar Gomez.
I'll agree, and Hudson's been the target of trade rumors, so it isn't necessarily a case where Ziegler gets traded and Hudson inherits saves in Arizona, so I agree, Neris.
Brian from Mars, Pennsylvania says, "Dear Double Dribble, Blades of Steel, and Tecmo Bowl."
Those are old sports games.
I don't think I've ever played Blades of Steel, but Double Dribble and Tecmo Bowl are two of my all-time favorites.
Love Tecmo Bowl.
Of course, we both know Tecmo Super Bowl much better.
No, I actually prefer Tecmo Bowl. Adam.
Wow. Just mute your headset and get off the podcast right now.
And go buy some Franks at the grocery store.
Listen, yeah. Tecmo Bowl, the cool thing about Tecmo Bowl is like the randomness is taken out of it. If you position your defender in between the receiver and the pass, it will be intercepted every time. There are virtually no fumbles, virtually no incomplete passes, except for interceptions, of course.
So it's nothing like regular football.
No, but I think it makes it a better game overall because you're not losing because of luck or winning because of luck.
You got four plays. You have four plays. Tecmo
Super
Bowl is eight.
And if you call the play that your opponent does, it's automatically foiled.
And you want a 25% chance of that? I mean, that's... Come on,
sure.
Scott. Get with
it. It's a game within a game.
Devin Travis or DJ LeMahieu rest of season? Who do you like better?
Travis. I've got him eighth. I've got LeMahieu ranked ninth. Good question.
Okay. Matt from Vegas. It feels like Jung Ho Kang is not getting enough playing time for the Pirates for him to be consistent. In a 12-team points league, would you drop Kang for either Jake Lamb or Eduardo Nunez at third base?
Wow, what a dilemma. Because if Kang does start playing regularly at some point this season, I would definitely much rather have him than Lamb or Nunez.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think it's hard to leave Lamb on waivers, but no, I can't let Kang go at this point.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Okay, and the last one is from Splack. He has Jung Ho Kang and Johnny Peralta. He wants to upgrade at either third base or shortstop, so he's good at pitcher. Would you give up Michael Fulmer for either Tulowitzki or Longoria in a 12-team points league?
I would, considering what we just talked about with Fulmer's innings, I may regret this, but I actually think Tulo would be my preference.
Oh, I thought the way you prefaced that, they're going to say Longoria.
Me too.
I'd rather have Longoria.
Yeah, but you know, this is the guy who likes Tecmo Bowl instead of Tecmo Super Bowl, so take it with a grain of salt.
Hang on. Can I find Tulowitzki's numbers real quick? Because maybe I'm just remembering incorrectly, but I feel like he's been good.
Yeah, he's had a nice little hot streak.
Coming off the DL. And.
But Longoria's been good the entire season, basically.
I know, but it's good in a way that has him behind Jake Lamb in the year-to-date numbers.
Lamb's got like 20 homers or something.
And so does Longoria. But he's barely a top 10 at his position, is what I'm saying. When Tulowitzki. 309
right?
With four home runs in 20 games since returning. I mean.
How many at Coors? I think just one, if that. He's been good. Lamb has 17
at
home
Coors?
Runs.
Yeah, because they just had the series.
Oh, right. Yeah, you're right. Just one.
Just one. Okay, yeah. Last thing I want to look up, and then I'll let everybody go. I just can't believe this. Is Evan Longoria really? Yeah, you're right. He's about 10th. Yeah. How about that?
Well,
man, what
a position. Striking out the walk ratio for him. So I don't think it's just depth of the position. It's just... bad peripherals to overcome, and obviously he's must own and all that, but I think Tulowitzki could still be better. I do.
You guys have a great weekend. I'm going to talk to you in a half hour for the mailbag show, but that's airing Monday, so enjoy your 4th of July. We'll be back with another live show on Tuesday, you know what I mean by live, and a recorded one on Monday. Happy 4th of July, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to us. I hope you have an outstanding 3-day weekend. And we'll rock and roll on Tuesday. See you later.